All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. And it's my pleasure to welcome Tom Englehart back to the show. He's otherwise known as Tom Editor or Tom Dispatch. That's one word, Tom Dispatch. He edits a lot of great writers. And he has his own archive at antiwar.com, and the way it works is it's always a great little mini introductory essay by Tom, not always, almost always, and then another article by one of his in-house writers there, and a lot of great ones. And in fact, I'm looking at tomdispatch.com right now, and on the left side of the page are a bunch of books that Tom edited. For example, The American Way of War. This one is, I forget if you wrote this or if you're the editor of this one, Tom.
Scott.
Welcome to the show, first of all, sorry.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, so you're the editor of that one or you just
wrote that
one, right?
That's actually my own writing.
Right, yeah. Right. And then The World According to Tom Dispatch is edited by you, a bunch of great essays. I know The End of Victory Culture, that's you. Mission Unaccomplished. This one is a novel that you wrote, The Last Days of Publishing. I never read that one, but I did read The Case for Withdrawal from Afghanistan that Nick Turse did, and I know you were part of that. Michael Schwartz's War Without End also was great. And this book I think is so important. That's the reason I'm doing this whole rant about these books, is because I really wanted to get to this. The Complex, How the Military Invades Our Everyday Lives by Nick Turse. That is some important work right there. And that's along the lines of the topic I want to talk with you about today is the piece that's at the top of your page and at antiwar.com right now. The Pentagon's Planet of Bases, call it. Nick Turse has gone and done the update on how many bases there are in the world. Fill us in.
Well, think of this, if you'll excuse the pun, as kind of a baseline. He went back, there are all sorts of bases, numbers for bases, U.S. bases, that are quoted, ranging from 400 to 1,000-odd. The Times had a piece just the other day, an op-ed by Nicholas Kristof, where he had 560. He claimed there were 560 bases. Now, Nick's gone back, and he's done the due diligence. And what he's basically found, I think his first answer would be this: nobody knows how many American bases there are in the world, no matter how you're counting them up. Probably the Pentagon doesn't know. But best count, is way higher than you imagine. Over 1,000, could be 1,180, could be even above that. And the problem with counting them is that the Pentagon identifies a certain number of bases and sites around the world. But the problem is that they don't identify all of them. They don't include bases in war zones, to give you an example. So Nick spent about, some months trying to nail down how many American bases there were, uncounted in any Pentagon count, in Afghanistan. And he got from the military, he got passed from public information officer to public information officer, and from the military he got figures ranging from, 250 to 400. And finally, he ended up with the figure he had more or less begun with, which is a little over 400 bases. This is from micro outposts to the kind of mega bases like Bagram Air Base and Kandahar Air Base, which are enormous, miles square. They have traffic jams. They have fast food joints. They're American. They're massive little American towns that we've built, thousands and thousands of miles away. But that's 400. If you add that on to the 560 that Kristof is talking about, you've got 960 already. Then there are a certain number of bases that that nobody talks about, partially, for instance, in the Middle East. A lot of those governments, they're supporting U.S. bases or bases that have been jointly built or sponsored by the U.S., but it's kind of embarrassing to them. It's embarrassing to their publics. That is, they don't want to put a lot of attention into it. So in places like Qatar and Kuwait and so on and so forth, the bases are there, but they're not counted. They're not in the official count. The government doesn't recognize them. So, and you've got those. You've got bases around the world. You've got a certain number of bases that are bases that are, quote, not American bases because they're shared. For instance, in Pakistan, I mean, our drones fly out of bases in Pakistan. We've got small numbers of soldiers based in Pakistan, special operations types. But those bases are counted as Pakistani bases, so they don't count. And then we've got teeny bases that the Pentagon doesn't bother to count at all, little pre-positioning bases or little things that are under, I don't know, I'd have to look. I don't have the piece in front of me, under $10 million in value and maybe 10 acres. And often those little things aren't counted at all. They have no count for them. Or some of them are agglomerated into a single larger base for the purposes of accounting, and you just get one there. So the answer is, you know, the however you look at it, the U.S. stance around the world is historically unprecedented. There's never been anything like it. And the odds are that the American base count, small, teeny to large, runs somewhere in the count of 1,000, 100 and something.
Well, you know, the most remarkable part of this to me is the bases in the countries that most Americans, a lot of times even including me, have never even heard of before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess you could say, oh, yeah, of course, we got a bunch of bases in Germany left over from the old Cold War days and World War II and whatever. But bases in Kyrgyzstan? What the hell is a Kyrgyzstan?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and we've got...
And they're isolated little bases out there, too. It sort of seems a setup for a pretty hard fall, having these little isolated bases out there. You know, we bribe their governments into, quote-unquote, inviting us in or whatever, but that doesn't mean they're ever really welcomed by the people in any of those countries, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just to give you an example, in Kuwait, one of those places... it doesn't appear on the Pentagon's official list at all. I think the 2010 Pentagon base structure report, which is the Pentagon report of their bases, lists one nameless U.S. site in Kuwait. But Nick counts up six of them: Camp Harifjan, Camp Buring, Camp Virginia, Kuwait Naval Base, which is in essence ours or partially ours, Ali Al Salem Air Base, and Udari Range. All six. You know, and it goes on like that. You know, it's similar for Qatar. It's similar for Saudi Arabia, where we've theoretically withdrawn, but the U.S. military continue to train and advise from sites like Eskin Village. That's one, you know, base. It's a compound 20 kilometers south of Riyadh, according to 2009 numbers, there were at that time 800 U.S. personnel, 500 of them advisors, there at Eskin Village, not counted as anything. I mean, it's, you know, publicly we no longer have a basis in Saudi Arabia, and yet the reality is rather different and striking. And in fact, as we've been withdrawing from Iraq, one of the striking things, and by the way, I'm really just summarizing here, this is not my work, this is the work of Nick Turse, who's the greatest. I've met some really good researchers in my day, including Chalmers Johnson and others, and Nick is the best researcher I've ever met on this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, and we're going to have him on the show later in the week to follow up for sure, too.
Yeah, and but, you know, it's what's striking is that, for instance, we are now moving out of Iraq, so that we had, at its height, according, I think it was to the Washington Post, I'd have to go back and check the piece, we had about 400, as in Afghanistan, we had about 400 bases, you know, micro outposts to massive, we had Balad Air Base, and this is in Iraq, which had, at one point, had traffic like O'Hare in Chicago. I mean that level of traffic. So this was a massive base, down to little things. We had about 400 of them in Iraq. I think the last count that Nick could find, there were 88, because we are withdrawing our troops from Iraq, or most of them anyway.
Yeah, well, up to Kurdistan, yeah.
but we're just withdrawing them to the rest of the Persian Gulf. I mean, we're digging in elsewhere around Iraq. Okay.
All right, now we'll have to pick that up on the other side of this break with the heroic Tom Englehart, TomDispatch.com. Unless you work at the State Department, you can't get there. Get a proxy server. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking about the bases, the shape of America's far-flung military empire. with the heroic Tom Englehart from TomDispatch.com, which, as I was saying before the break, you can't get there from a State Department website. They got him blocked. And so, Tom, we got to talk about that.
Sure.
We got to talk about the cost of just the bases, never mind like the Iraq and Afghan wars themselves, and even like the Navy fleet, but just the cost of the bases around the world. If we can talk about some of those ballpark numbers. And also, we were talking about the bases in Arabia and the import there.
Yes. We were saying that, I was saying that we're withdrawing or drawing down in Iraq, but in the course of this, and Nick Terse has also been doing this work for Tom Dispatch in slightly older posts, we've been building up our base structure all around Iraq. You know, in Kuwait, in Qatar, in Bahrain, and so on and so forth. Every place around Iraq, that base structure has been reinforced. More money has gone into it. It's grown larger, and so on and so forth. So that you know, so far, there's been very little backing down from our global base structure at all. I mean, sooner or later, you asked me about figures. I don't have figures on how much this costs. But it's fabulous sums of money. I mean, the other day, you know, you read because the thing about the American bases is they're not much written about here. You get base news here only when Congress threatens to cut or the Pentagon threatens to close down some base in the United States, and then people go crazy. But otherwise, even though millions of Americans have cycled through these bases abroad, they're really dealt with almost as if they don't exist in this country, almost as if we don't, in this sense, militarily occupy the world. So, you know, every now and then you see, I saw the other day there was a Time magazine piece saying that we had just put $130 million into a new fueling system for airplanes at Bagram Air Base. That's just one base, one fueling system, 2 miles of piping within a base big enough to hold 2 miles of piping. That was $130 million. So, you know, I mean, all these things, the embassies that we now build around the world increasingly look like mini bases, like citadels, so that we're now spending, you know, it'll be close to $1 billion to build a, quote, embassy in Islamabad, Pakistan, another $500 million-plus to build or upgrade our again, embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. We spent $744 million to build our embassy, which is really a citadel, a kind of a base, our vast embassy base in the middle of Baghdad, which takes, if I remember rightly from the Washington Post, about $1.2 billion a year to run. Of course, it takes a lot to run a base where you have over 1,000, you know, more than 1,000, quote, diplomats. So, you know, I mean, these are staggering sums, and I've been arguing for a while that while the well, in the United States, I mean, people can argue about whether the stimulus package was too small, too big, you know, and what we should do next in terms of a stimulus package. But obviously, there are going to be no more real stimulus packages in the United States. But abroad, there is an ongoing military stimulus package. We've spent, you know, there was a piece the other day. I mean, when General Petraeus was surging in Baghdad back in 2007, he put $1 million, this is in kind of hearts and minds stuff, he put $1 million into renovating a water park, you know, like think Six Flags or something, a water park in the middle of Baghdad,
right,
which was briefly renovated, and now because they can't get electricity is just a basically a pile of mud again. But that was $1 million to go into some water park. I mean, this sort of thing goes on all the time. Abroad, we Marines can walk into a village in Helmand province in Afghanistan. And they can hand out any month. They can hand out hundreds of thousands of dollars. They can pave the bazaar. They can hand out free cell phones. They can do all this stuff. You know, any town in Rhode Island or, you know, Indiana would love this sort of thing. They can hire firemen, policemen. I mean, we in this country, we're laying off policemen. In Afghanistan, we are putting multi-billion dollars, $11.6 billion this year, supposedly, into training up a huge Afghan army and police force. We're hiring in Afghanistan, the United States is hiring policemen. That's the reality.
Yep. And, well, geez, it's the biggest budgets ever. I mean, Barack Obama's budget in general makes George W. Bush looked like a fiscal conservative of some type when he, I guess, tripled the budget that Bill Clinton handed him. I mean, we're way off the deep end here, a $14 trillion debt. And it looks to me like as the people here get looted for every last cent, the empire is going to be the very last thing to go.
It looks like that. I mean, I don't know if you followed the other day Robert Gates announced, and it was huge headlines. I've written about it. It's coming up this Thursday as an introduction to a very good piece. I wrote about this, the almost lurid headlines, Pentagon under the knife, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Huge cuts, blah, blah, blah. So you actually look at this thing, and the Pentagon claims to have cut $330 billion last year and $78 billion this year, all in the future, and it's all cuts of what they claim they expected to spend at some future moment. But in the meantime, and they talk about this as belt tightening, but it's really a belt loosening operation, because in fact their projections, that is Gates's projections after cuts of the Pentagon budget, is that for the next 3 years the Pentagon budget, already gigantic, will rise.
Right, and you know, it's worth mentioning that Robert Higgs at the Independent Institute, I forget her name, but there was a few that worked on the great project Shock and Awe at Mother Jones, Dr. Ron Paul, and then PolitiFact.org, fact-checking Ron Paul. These sources all agree that the government basically, if you count the nuclear weapons and the VA and the rest, it costs us $1 trillion a year. And those numbers are actually a few years old.
Yes, those numbers I think are going to prove low. And actually, if you keep your eyes on Tom Dispatch probably next month, I should have some news on that.
Oh, man. Low. Did you hear that? $1 trillion a year on militarism is a low ball, too conservative estimate, according to Tom Dispatch.
I think that's accurate.
Oh, man.
For the full national security budget.
All right, now here's the thing, too. This is a dying empire, and the more we lash out, the less influence we have in the world anyway, right? You're talking about an empire blowing it, just like all the rest of them.
Yeah, I would say that's absolutely true, but we're not the first. We're not the first to do this, and we're not the first to, you know, to get to the first empire already overstretched to get into ridiculous, small, expensive wars far away that can't be won.
You know what would have been fun is if instead of David Frum and Richard Pearl, I'd been writing George Bush's speech, and I'd just had him say the honest truth on the night of September 11th when he finally came out of his cowardly hidey hole underground in hardened bunkers in Nebraska back to D.C. that night. I would have had him say, look, this is the price we pay for empire. 3,000 dead of you people, civilian types, you know, who cares? This is it's just the price we pay, and you're going to have to live with it and see if they could have got away with this same policy.
Absolutely.
After that.
Scott, thank you so much. It's always fun to be on.
Thank you very much for your time, everybody. I'm sorry I didn't even hear the music playing under my rent. Thanks, Tom.
Well.
Everybody, that's TomDispatch.com, Tom Englehart at antiwar.com today, of course.